when one sector of our business takes a credibility hit, often we all do. Now, I don't think atmospheric sciences is the only field that has this problem. Wall Street executives also come to mind. But that doesn't mean we should ignore it. And I think this is part and parcel of a bigger issue that all of us, regardless of what you do in this field, will have to deal with. It's very difficult to bring useful and accurate information about science to the American public. And quite frankly, the internet does not necessarily help. I was prepared to make this point today even before I picked up a new book by journalist Chris Mooney and his scientist colleague Cheryl Kirschenbaum titled Unscientific America. I highly recommend it. In which they state, quote, "The internet has simultaneously become the best and worst source of information on science. You can find great science content on the web, but you can also find the most stunning misrepresentations and distortions." And I think that's being kind. This was essentially the subject of a master's paper that I supervised for a grad student who just finished up last month. It actually reminded me of a quote often attributed to Mark Twain. "What gets us into trouble is not what we don't know, it's what we know for sure that just ain't so." Now, certainly some of the dis and misinformation results from the way the media translates science information to the public. But the truth is, we as a profession also continue to put products out there that simply don't pass the snake oil test. Products that come with no user's manual, no warning labels. Products that give mistaken or misleading impressions. I was reminded of this on a very personal level just recently. There's a real smart lady who I've known for a long time. She often calls me up for weather forecasts. So it's December 11th. It's a full 2 weeks before Christmas. The phone rings, it's her. She's worrying because she'd heard there was a snowstorm on the way for Christmas Day. Now I said, "How many times have we talked about this, Mom?" "14 days is just too far out to believe the details of a weather forecast." This is a true story. My own mom, well, she sees these kinds of forecasts on the web. They look just like 1 and 2 day forecasts in terms of the presentation mode. There must be some value to them. Then there's the computer model generated precipitation forecasts to the nearest 1/100th of an inch that are increasingly being shown on my local newscast in raw form without caveats or explanation. Heck, we're doing well if we can get within 1/10 of an inch of liquid precipitation, let alone 1/100th. And they're doing the same thing with snowfall forecasts to the nearest 1/10 of an inch. And last week, as very cold air enveloped most of the east, it took me about 30 seconds to find a video on a prominent weather website that was comparing this winter to the extremely cold winters of the late 1970s in the eastern United States. And one of the statements made in that video went like this. Quote, "A lot of the same people in this country that are now screaming global warming were screaming global cooling then," referring to the late 1970s. Now, this is perpetuating the prevalent notion that there was a scientific consensus in the late 1970s that we were heading into an ice age. Well, for those who care to get it right, it then took me another 30 seconds to find this paper in the September 2008 BAMS, The Myth of the 1970s Global Cooling Scientific Consensus. Easy to read, that exposes the fallacy in the argument on the left. Unfortunately, I think what the public sees and hears is more like that video post, and not that paper in bands. Basically, I think we have to do a better job of conveying our science to the public, including where the uncertainties lie. And it's my hope that among you are many who not only want to be scientists, but also who want to reach out to society to better explain our science. A few personal reflections.